Thanks for tuning into Beer Here, the weekly podcast on beer at WFMU.org and blog at beerhere.blogspot.com.
This week, we travel up to New Hampshire and speak with Brian, the head of sales, and Chris, the head brewer at White Birch Brewing Company in Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Well, that's a scant few miles from my boyhood home.
And it was the boyhood home of G.G. Allen.
Yeah, we didn't play. So let's hear about White Birch. We're in Hooksett, New Hampshire with Brian, the Director of Sales and Marketing for White Birch Brewing. Hi, Brian.
How's it going?
How long has this brewery been in business?
We started in June of 2009 as what's been known as a nano brewery. Made about 20-gallon batches in those early days, and grown kind of slow and steady over the past 2.5 years, I guess you can say. We've been in this location since August of 2011, and we now make 7-barrel batches, and we're in 7 states, and just continuing slow, steady growth.
So on your third year?
Yes.
And that's a big jump from 20 gallons to...
Well, somewhere along the way there, we went 20 gallons to 40 gallons, you know, eventually 80. We were, you know, just double batching throughout the day. So we've been doing 7-barrel batches for about a year now.
Great. And when you started off, was it all kegs or did you also bottle?
The beginning was 100% bottle. We've only done kegs for about a year now, and it's super limited. Just when you're making beer 20 gallons at a time or even 7 barrels at a time, kegging it is tough. There's not a lot to go around.
We're in the, what would you call this, the sales floor?
Yeah, well, it's funny that you say it. This building was a former used car dealership, so this is the old sales room.
Yeah, I was going to ask, when you drive by, it looks like something that's on the highway, or all of a sudden see the sign, brewery.
Yeah.
There's a brewery here.
Yeah, so what was the old showroom is now our hospitality suite, if you will, our humble hospitality suite. We have retail, tasting, and we do events out here. We can fit, you know, 150, 200 people at any given time.
So we were really surprised to see so many varieties. I thought you guys only brewed a couple of varieties, but how many styles of beer do you brew now?
Currently available here at the brewery, we have probably 20 different beers. Out in the market, we probably have possibly another 10, depending on just how different markets and how it's been absorbed or not. Certain beers we move through quicker here at the brewery. In New York, you're not seeing as much variety because it's so much more draft intensive. And like I said earlier, we just don't do a ton of draft. We have more bottle product and a little more variety in bottles. We're looking to grow draft in 2012, and that'll be something we'll do slowly throughout the year. So you may or may not see some more. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, variety is in bottles right now.
What are the top selling brands that you currently brew?
It depends on any given day, but I'd say our top three are the Belgian style pale ale, our Hooksett Ale, which is, a Belgian IPA, you could call it, and Hop Session, a bit of a hybrid beer, kind of a play on, maybe an English IPA and an American Amber.
The Hooksett Ale, which is a 7.5% ABV beer that definitely has some hop character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the intent of this beer, you know, the first, year and a half we were in business, everyone said, so where's the IPA? And initially we didn't brew an IPA. There's tons of great IPA on the market if you want one. We were originally starting with more of a heavy Belgian influence. So eventually we heard enough of the, so where's the IPA, and decided if we were going to do an IPA, we'd do it our way. And so using our house Belgian strain, came up with a really nice malt body, and then used some classic American hops. And the results are Hooksett Ale. Originally, we just said, well, let's just call it Hooksett Ale. We always thought Belgian IPA sounded kind of funny. It's a bit of an oxymoron to say a Belgian India Pale Ale. But then that
became... Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. But it became one of those, I guess, styles that just happened, kind of like the whole black IPA thing, I guess. And so all of a sudden, people were using the phrase Belgian IPA, and it seemed like most beer drinkers understood what that meant. So as much as it makes no sense, we're now referring to it as a Belgian IPA.
I see on the shelves you have quite a few barrel-aged bottles. I've only had the one in New York. How many different varieties do you have, and where do you source your cooperage from for that?
We've got barrels out back from southern distilleries. We have some wine barrels from California. There is one barrel that came from a meadery up in Maine somewhere that's now out of business. I can't even remember how that one came to be, but it happens from time to time. And probably one of the most unique barrels we have out back was made for us by the cooper out at Strawberry Bank in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's a historical reenactment village. And they have a cooper who also has an apprentice, I believe. So there's two people actively making barrels there in Portsmouth. And we got to talking to him one day and asked if he ever made a barrel out of birchwood. He hadn't, was intrigued with the idea, so he attempted it. We have a beer that was aged in that barrel called Cooper's Dilemma. It's called that because it was quite a project, and I don't think he's looking to make a barrel out of birchwood ever again.
What sort of flavor and character does birchwood impart to the beer?
For me, it's more of a spearmint quality. I don't get licorice out of it. A lot of people kind of assume it might be more of a licorice, but it's a bit of a spearmint quality. He did toast or char the barrel like you would an oak. The trouble was the birchwood didn't behave the way oak did. He had a hard time, after steaming it, bending it. And then it's a bit porous. So it's not the most airtight or liquid type barrel he's ever made. So again, it was a fun experiment, but probably not something we'll be doing again, at least not in that sense.
So we met Andy a little while ago. He is an apprentice brewer. You said he's the Wednesday apprentice brewer. He's not the head brewer. Well, so what's going on? You also mentioned these apprentice brewers brew your one-off batches. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Early on, Bill, our founder, was the only employee, the sole full-time employee, and he was doing everything, including brewing and sales and deliveries, etc. He had a really persistent young guy named Matt who was just kept coming to the brewery saying, "Hey, I want to work for you. Hey, I want to work for you." And Bill said, I can't hire anybody at this time. And he's like, "Nah, you don't understand. I want to learn everything I can about the business. Can I please just volunteer my time?" So they got to talking, and Bill said, "Well, you know what? I'll let you do it, but only under the guides of having you be an apprentice. I want you to, learn the process, and then, you can go out on your own and do whatever it is you want to do in the industry." So the apprentice program was kind of born of that conversation. And so Matt was our first apprentice brewer. And he worked at the brewery for 6 months, one day a week, and learned everything from all the less glamorous grunt work of cleaning and scrubbing all the way up through to designing his own recipe, brewing it with his own two hands, and he released it to market. We now have had 8 brewers complete the program. That's 8 beers out to market of their own design, something they did themselves. Most recently, our brewer, John, was hired by Harpoon up in Vermont. So he's now up there working as a cellarman. So that was a fun success story. But other people are working on starting up their own shops or just trying to find their way in the industry.
That's fantastic. You mentioned earlier that you did a lot of Belgian styles early on. Is that a keystone of White Birch Brewing, that you're always going to be doing some Belgian styles?
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to Bill, he's heavily influenced by Belgian style beer and Belgian flavors. I'd say probably half of our portfolio is and probably will always be Belgian influenced.
Do you guys work a number of different yeasts or?
Yeah, we are working with a number of different yeasts. A lot of our Belgian style beer is primarily Trappist, and then in terms of the non-Belgian beers, we're using a couple of different strains, English, American, where appropriate.
This building houses not only the showcase showroom, but also the full brewery. And you said is it a
7-barrel.
What are some things that are in production now that are unique that we might see coming soon?
Our next apprentice release, former Monday apprentice Kate, she's completed the program, but her beer's in the tank. It's a beer going to be called Jasmine. Label's been approved by the TTB, and we're just waiting for the yeast to finish doing what it does. As the name implies, there is jasmine in the beer. It was fermented using an Ardennes yeast strain. While I haven't sampled it recently myself, I did have some from the test batch, and I think it's going to be a really interesting, unique beer.
And your beer is available not only in New Hampshire, but also in New York City?
Correct. Yeah, we're currently in 7 states. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, and I'll say the greater Philadelphia area. We're adding New Jersey and Connecticut in the coming months.
And if there's one special beer that the brewery has brewed that people could get that you'd recommend, what would it be?
Available in all our markets are our three flagship beers, and those you asked me earlier what sells the most, and that's the Belgian style pale ale, Hoxet ale, and Hop Session.
What's one of your favorites?
You know, it depends on the day or the week, and right now Hop Session is working for me. Hop Session really took off for us when we first brewed it, and over the summer between festivals and moving the brewery, it just sold out and we didn't have any for the longest time. So now we have some fresh batches. It's nice to have that beer back.
And people who want to visit the brewery and the showcase showroom, you're open?
Currently open 7 days a week, believe it or not. We're doing Monday and Tuesday from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Friday from 10 to 7, and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5.
And you guys are very easy to spot off Route 3 in Hooksett, New Hampshire.
Absolutely. Right off of 93. If you're heading north, you're getting off the exit before the toll booth. So stop by the brewery, skip the toll, have some samples, and we'll tell you how to get back to the highway without going through the toll.
Yeah, and it is an amazing selection of big bottles that you can get here at the brewery. You'll probably never see as many White Birch beers in New York City as you'll find right here.
Is there going to be an official White Birch car that we can put in the showroom window?
You know, that's not a bad idea, because you can see behind you here, they used to drive the cars. You know, the weekly special came in the double doors and parked there on the linoleum. Maybe we should bring the big white whale in here, our old delivery van. We should park that in here from time to time. So, yeah, play up the car theme as much as we can.
Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for stopping by.
So that was fun hanging out with the guys from White Birch Brewing. And as you heard in the podcast, their building used to be a used car dealership.
I hear that there's an interesting story about that used car dealership.
There is. A story about a teenage boy conniving his way into a test drive of a Porsche 928, reaching obscene speeds on the highway, but that's for another podcast. Now all the attention seems to be on New Hampshire these days, so let's stay up in New Hampshire.
Sounds good. Next week, we speak with JT and Todd Mott from the Portsmouth Brewery.
And Smutty Nose.
And Smutty Nose.
Thanks for tuning in.